today as we look into the Word of God is that it's never too late. It's never too late. Not just about salvation, but about anything and everything that goes on in your life. We come to these points in our life where we feel like there's just no more hope. It's not going to work out. There's no way it's going to happen. It's not possible. And we're just so overwhelmed. We're so discouraged. We've tried. We've done everything we knew to do. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And we've sought the counsel. And it's whatever it is, it's just not happening for us. And yet, the Word of God makes it clear that it's never too late. And we need to understand that and look at it in a fresh new way to be inspired and motivated and encouraged to keep on keeping on. Because it does get difficult. And we do get tired. And the Word wouldn't exhort us not to grow weary if we didn't grow weary. So it's never too late. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord God, I thank you and praise you that with you, it is never too late. Oftentimes, we miss out, we lose out. But Lord, in you, it's never too late. I thank you, Lord, for your wonderful words of life. I praise you, Holy Spirit, that you are a teacher. You will lead us and guide us now into all truth. I thank you, Lord, for bringing to my remembrance what you know needs to be shared today. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you will make it real in our lives. Lord, we don't want to just hear words and gather information. We want you to make a difference in our lives today. Bring about the necessary changes that our lives might truly be transformed to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a friend approach me after class one time a number of years ago when I was teaching seminary. And he had come over to audit one of my classes. This particular man I had had privilege of discipling, counseling, and ministering for several years. And on that evening, he was deeply distraught. And his request was clear. He said, "My father has had a serious heart attack. He's in the hospital. They don't expect him to live. He doesn't know the Lord. And he and I don't have a good relationship." And so he said, "I'm very concerned for him. And I would like to see God heal that relationship, but also for my father to know the Lord." And there was another minister friend of mine there, and we stood and gathered and joined hands. And I said, "You know, you've prayed this prayer many a time for your father. And it's been a long road that you've been down with him. And you've butted heads over the years, as you've told me in the past. And it seemed like he's never going to change and never going to change. And now here he is at death's door. But it's never too late." And so we held hands, and just in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this man's salvation. We receive his salvation. Our friend has already prayed for it. Others have prayed. And now, Lord, we're just going to receive his salvation. And we ask that your Spirit would speak to his heart and make Jesus known to him so that he might have new life in Christ. And Lord, pray this my friend here would have the boldness, the courage, and the words to share at your time for his father. In Jesus' name. You know, in about a week or so, my friend called me and said, "My dad has met the Lord." He said, "I went to the hospital as I did every day, sometimes several times a day. But while I was there this time, as my dad and I began to talk, he really wanted to hear from me. He wanted to talk to me and share with me." And he said, this time he was acutely aware that he wasn't the strong man that he once was. His father had been a very successful man in life and very strong and very capable and in every way just the kind of person that you felt like had it all together. But on this day, my friend said, my father admitted he had his own needs and he had his own concerns and he had a fear of death. And he said, I was able to introduce him to Jesus Christ as Lord. And he said, my father that day prayed and received Christ. And he said, the amazing thing is, he now has a good relationship with me. And that man, the father, went on to live about a year or so. And everywhere he went after that, he began to tell people how real Jesus was and what a difference Christ can make in our life. For you see, with the Lord, it's never too late. It's never too late. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. There are many illustrations of the fact that it's never too late, but I want to just address the one here in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, beginning verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. And it goes on there to say that it was the time when the priests were responsible for making their sacrifice to the Lord. And it was Zacharias' time, it said. His lot was to burn the incense, verse 9, when he went into the temple of the Lord. So this was that most special time where he would go into the Holy of Holies, representing the people of God, and he would burn the incense. And at that point, in verse 11 tells us, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. This encounter with the Lord was most unexpected. Now, ironically, the place he was at was the place where God had promised to Aaron that he would meet with the priest for the purpose of ministering to the people. But it had come to be over the years that God's people had lost sight of God, so that God's presence was few and far between. And yet, here's a man who was in the temple doing what he normally did when it was his turn to offer incense at the altar. And he was there, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. And he stood on the right side of the altar of incense. And verse 12 says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. You know, we talk a lot about the Lord. We pray to the Lord. We say we know the Lord. But what about those vivid, real, dynamic, dramatic encounters with the Lord? How do we stand up in light of that? In the presence of a holy God. Really, in His presence. And here was a man who, although blameless before the Lord, as soon as the Lord's presence became evident to him, was so stunned by the Lord's presence that he fell in fear and trembling before the Lord. This is an amazing thing. You know, how many of us, as we're driving down the highway and we see the patrol car up ahead, immediately do what? We put on the brakes. We may or may not be guilty, but one thing for sure, we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to get caught if we are speeding. We put on the brakes. Likely, we're more concerned about getting caught and paying the fine than we are about the fact of what we're doing. But the issue is, there's this immediate response, uh-oh, we see the authority, and immediately we think, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Now, you know, and I ask myself that so often. We're driving down the road, and it's just like all of a sudden you see red lights going on, you put on your brakes. It's not just that you're concerned there might be an accident. You know what's happening. There's probably a patrol car up the road. So you take caution. You express concern. And yet, so often, we're not doing anything wrong. Now, there are times when we are, and rightly so. We need to certainly fall in fear before the Lord. But it's like what happened in the garden. There was this beautiful relationship between Father God and Adam and Eve. Everything was just perfectly peaceful and joyful and pleasant. It was wonderful. It was truly as in paradise. And then there was the sin. And the Lord walks through the garden to have His time of fellowship with His children. And they're nowhere to be found. Because what? They're hiding. They've run in fear from Him when He should have been the one they should have been running to. When we've got a problem, if we've fallen or failed, we should run to, not from, the Lord. He's the only one who can fix us. He's the only one that can solve our problem. He's the only one that can meet our needs. So we must embrace Him, regardless of our fault or failure. But when we're not expecting God, when we're not anticipating an encounter with God, when we talk about Him and pray to Him, but do we really have a sense of expectancy that we're going to meet with God and that God is going to work in our lives or make a difference in our lives? And even though this man, Zacharias, who was a priest, certainly, and walking righteous before the Lord, obeying the commandments of God, and yet he had no real awareness of God. He knew a lot about Him. He honored Him in the way he lived his life. God declared him blameless. That's a good thing. He declared him righteous. But still, with all that, he missed the main thing. He missed God. He missed a living interaction, a living fellowship, a living encounter with God. And so when God tried to invade his space to make himself known, instead of him embracing God readily and openly, he pulled back in fear. Now certainly we have to have a respect of God and an awe of God. We have to honor him as high and lifted up and holy, holy. But the angel of the Lord, verse 13, said unto Zacharias, "Do not fear, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son. You shall call his name John. You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." The angel says, "Wait a minute. I'm here to bring good tidings. You don't need to be afraid of me. You don't need to be afraid of the presence of the Lord in your life. You don't need to run from the Lord. You need to embrace the Lord." And furthermore, he says, "I want you to know your prayer is heard." Now, let's go back and examine the facts. Verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. But notice, they were now well stricken in years. The time had come and gone for that prayer to be answered. Their conclusion is, it's too late. Missed it on that one. Guess God didn't want us to have a child. Must not be his will. So it's all over for us in that department. Won't happen. Can't happen. Not possible. Not a chance. So it's not like he was there in the temple praying, because he knew his wife was too old and she was barren. And furthermore, his get up and go and got up and went. It wasn't going to happen. So it's not that he's praying this prayer and the angel says, "Okay, I heard the prayer." Oh, that prayer was prayed way back, a long time ago. And yet, in God's perfect time, in God's own way, God was now about to do something that neither of them ever imagined possible. Zacharias sure didn't, and Elizabeth didn't think she had the ability to have a child either. But yet he says, not only are you going to have a child, I'll tell you this, it's going to be a boy. You know, we nowadays have technology. We can find out early on. Didn't used to have that. Didn't know. It was a surprise. And yet, without all this technology, the Lord knew. He said, "I'll tell you, it's going to be a boy. And I'll tell you something else. You're going to call his name John, because he is John. He is John, and he will prepare the way of the Lord." So suddenly, out of this terrifying moment comes this wonderful news, this truly good news. And so when we hear that the gospel is called the good news, although in the good news is contained the fact that all have sinned, and yes, we have fallen short of the glory of God, and yes, we are sinners, and yes, we need to repent, but that's good news too, because it's simply saying you've got a sickness, but the great physician is here to heal you and make you whole. He's here to restore you and renew you and to give you new life in Christ. So he says there about this child, verse 14, "You shall have joy and gladness because of him." That is, now you're going to be able to really be joyful and glad because your prayer has been heard and answered. And answered. And many, he goes on to say, shall rejoice at his birth. You know, it's one thing to have children, and it's a challenge as a parent, and you know, having gone down that road, you know, and realizing what a challenge it is, you know, you wonder, well, should I really jump into this? But thank God we do, because as I told the mother of our children today, I told Lou, I said, you know, not only are you the mother of our children, but if you hadn't had our children, we wouldn't have our grandchildren. Now, as grandparents, you may understand that that's a fun thing. And so it's good to have grandchildren, but you can't have grandchildren unless you have children. Anyway, so here we have Zacharias, and he's got some good news, and the news is going to cause others to be blessed. So in having a child, it's not just that you want to have a child. One of the deep heartaches and griefs for many a mother who has shed many a tear for having prayed many a prayer is for their wayward children. And yet God is saying in advance, not only is it not too late for you to have a child, but you're going to have a child that you're going to be proud of. You're going to have a child that's going to honor and glorify God and make a difference in the kingdom of God. He's saying, your prayers have been heard. And so our prayer as parents should be for our children at whatever stage they're in, that they would honor and glorify God, that God would do whatever is needed in their life to turn them around, turn them to Him, and restore them and make them whole. And to never give up hope, because it's never too late. It's never too late. Your child will be great in the sight of the Lord. Verse 15. Great in the sight of the Lord. And then Zacharias, verse 18, now he's got his attention, the Lord has, the angel of the Lord has got his attention, and so now Zacharias wants to know something. He says, well, whereby shall I know this? How do I know that what you're saying is true? How do I know that it's going to happen? I mean, we've been down this road before. We prayed and prayed and prayed. We got our hopes up so many times. You know how it is. You get your hopes up about something and you just get disappointed and disappointed. I mean, it hurts to be disappointed. You know, whether it be your child or your spouse, and they break your heart, and you just don't want to have to go through that anymore, so you kind of build up a wall of resistance. But the Lord wants us to see, no, in the Lord, let the guard down, let the walls down, and just trust God to do a work. Just trust God to do a work. Zacharias said, well, how will I know this? And then he says, I am an old man, and my wife, well, she's really old. He says, well stricken in years. It's like, you know, we're way beyond our time. We're over the hill and we're almost over the cliff. We're almost down and out. Anyway, I'm an old man. Interesting response from the angel of the Lord. Obviously, God's speaking to the angel through the angel. God's messenger, you know, an angel is a messenger. And the angel answered, verse 19, and said unto him, well, I am Gabriel. Okay, you say you're an old man. I'm going to tell you who I am. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord. I'm here with a message from the Lord. I'm here to give you a word from God. In other words, you're telling me who you are, but I'm going to tell you who I am. And the deal here is you and I need to understand, who are we dealing with? Who are we dealing with? We are dealing with the Lord God Almighty, and there's nothing but nothing too hard for Him. Furthermore, we need to stop looking at the outer man of our flawed, failed flesh. We need to stop looking at our weak humanity. We need to start looking at the glory of God and His almighty presence and power in our lives. So he says, yeah, you're an old man. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Lord, who He is, and what He has said, and what He says will come to pass. For has He not said it, and shall He not do it? Yes, He will do it. So the angel sets the record straight. Sets the record straight. Now he never tells him how he's going to know, but what he does tell him is, now look, because of your unbelief, you're going to be dumb. You're going to lose your speech. You're not going to have anything to say. One of the greatest things that guys like to do when they're going to have when they find out their wife's going to have a baby is they go around. They used to, if they smoke, would pass out cigars or what. They brag about, I'm going to have a child. I'm going to have a baby. And especially if they know it's a boy, I'm going to have a son. And that's kind of a big deal. But you're not going to have the privilege of going around talking it up and bragging about it. Your mouth's going to be shut. Your mouth's going to be shut. And you won't get to talk. You won't have anything to say because, verse 20, you did not believe my words. And they shall be fulfilled in their season. They shall be fulfilled. No ifs, no ands, and no buts about it. They will be fulfilled. It will happen. Your wife will have a child. Humanly impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And your wife will have a child, according to the word of the Lord. Well, he got back home, and verse 24, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Guess God was right. No doubt about it. The Lord has spoken, and it happened. And so then, verse 25, she said, this is Elizabeth's response, thus has the Lord dealt with me. Thus has the Lord dealt with me. She recognized, I have a child by the grace of God. This child is a gift from God. This child could not have been possible apart from God. In other words, the birthing of this child has come from the Lord Himself. God did it. God did it. Thus has the Lord dealt with me. And then she adds, wherein He looked on me. Some scriptures sometimes in reference to things like this would say God had respect unto us. That is, God took her into consideration. You know, you and I, we sit around in our lives, we go through issues in life, problems and needs arise, and we pray and we wonder, does God really hear me? And we look around at our friends and we see God answering prayers and people driving new cars and maybe getting great jobs, but it's not happening for us. I've got a man just called me recently. He's been about to become unemployed. His wife's in terrible health and got serious needs and major medical bills. And it's a grim moment. And we get to those grim moments and we have to wonder, well, why would God let this happen to me? And where is God in my life? And what's going on here? And there was Elizabeth all those years. All those years. And note, she goes on to say in verse 25, He took away my reproach among men. He took away my reproach among men. You see, it's not enough that we look around and see what others have and what we don't have, but we begin to feel like we've been slighted. Like we're sort of the black sheep of the family. We feel like we're somehow left out. Somehow God overlooked us, neglected us. Maybe He doesn't like us. Maybe He's mad at us. We don't really know. But we just feel like we're under this realm of reproach. Now, in the biblical times, one of the great honors of being a woman was to be a mother, to bear children, to have others who would go forth and carry on the family name and to be there to help the family carry out the family household duties and responsibilities, and mostly in an agrarian culture where everybody had to work on the farm, so to speak, and tend to the animals and whatever. And so this was a huge thing. And for a woman to not be able to bear children was in itself seen as a reproach. It's like that she's less than a woman. There's something here that she's missing out on. But here Elizabeth says, but Lord, You took away my reproach. You have granted my request, my prayer, but more than that, You've spoken to me. You've come to me. You've done a work in me. In my life, the Lord is working. The Lord is working. So I'm saying here, be encouraged that the Lord is for you and not against you. And keep on keeping on in the sense of being expectant that God can and will and is working in your life and in ways that He's worked in the past. Be assured those were precursors to what He's going to do today in the crisis or in the need you might find yourself in. So then the storyline changes and suddenly it moves on to the angel now going to Mary, the mother of our Lord, and the whole thing goes on there with the interaction about her, which of course you're quite familiar. But as it moves along, the angel speaks another word, and this time it's about Elizabeth, which was related, a cousin. He says, your cousin, verse 36, Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. See, the Lord encourages our faith. And in Mary's case, she was being presented with this obviously impossible situation. She was a young girl, to be sure, but she was a virgin. And she was being told, you're going to have a child without having known a man. And that's, of course, humanly impossible. But again, with God, all things are possible. And so the angel says, well, let me just tell you that your cousin Elizabeth, who it's humanly impossible to have a child, has already had a child. I mean, she's conceived. I mean, she is with child currently, and she's about 6 months along. And then he adds, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now we hear that, we sing that, we say that. But do we really believe that? Because you see, it's at the point of believing that and looking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, looking to the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, looking to the Lord God Almighty, looking to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and saying, okay, Lord, as you've worked in them, so I trust you to work in me. As you have done for them, so I trust you to do in my life. Yes, in your time, certainly in your way. But I am going to keep on keeping on trusting you, because it's never too late. Whatever it might be, it's never, never too late. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I invited a layman, worked with at that time Eastern Airlines, goes way back, but I invited him to go with me on a mission trip to Indonesia. Everything was looking good for the trip. Of course, he had his ticket, I had mine. Got to the day of departure, I'm down there at the airport, Lou's with me to see me off, our kids are there, my friend's wife and kids show up. Where is he? I ask. Well, I don't know. He said he'd meet me here, but he's not here. He said he had to go run some errands on his way to pick up a few things, and he'd be here. But he wasn't there, and he wasn't there. And last call came, and I made my move and walked, and I said, I'll tell him I will see him on the plane. So I got on the plane, and I'm praying, Lord, only you can do a miracle now. Because then I heard the door close. If you've flown many flights, you know that that's kind of the death knell for anybody that missed the flight. Because when that door closes, they typically do not open. So I'm sitting there, and they're making announcements for departure, and the engines are whirling up their sounds like they're getting ready to roll us out. And all of a sudden, an announcer came on, the pilot, and he said, we've had a momentary problem. We've called the mechanic. Please bear with us. Our departure time is going to be late. Well, my friend, being a flight attendant of the airline, he knew that there would be someone coming to board the plane because they had announced out there for the other people and told them what was happening. And when he saw the mechanic come to board the plane, he followed right behind him when they opened the door. He showed him his ticket and walked right in. You see, it's never too late in the Lord. It looked like he wasn't going to board the plane. It looked like it was not possible for him to get on that flight. But the Lord intended for him to go with me on that flight. He and I had prayed about that. We were expecting God to make it happen. There were many obstacles we had to get through, the finances, the arrangements, all the things that had to happen. Now here at the last moment, the door closes and he's not on the plane. But it's never too late in the Lord. So we've got to keep on keeping on in our trust and dependency on the Lord and calling those things that are not as though they are. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so then Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. In verse 41, it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a presence of God that will consume us if we'll let Him. And His Spirit will fill us if we're just open to Him. And so here, Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, it changes the way you look at things and it changes the way you conduct your life. And immediately, she spoke out with a loud voice. There's boldness, there's courage, there's confidence in her voice. And she spoke out and said, verse 42, blessed are you among women. She's speaking about Mary, the mother of our Lord. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. She's speaking out, prophetic word we'd say. She's prophesying, that's what the Bible would call it. And so she's declaring the word of the Lord to Mary. She's speaking a word of faith into Mary about what God's going to do in Mary's life to reassure her and encourage her. And then she sums it up like this, and this is the summary for each of us in verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. As you begin to seek God about your life, as you begin to look to what God's Word has to say to you and what God wants to say to you through His Word, as you begin to open your heart and mind to Him and really entrust your life to Him, He'll begin to lead you and guide you, and He will begin to work in your life in ways you never thought possible, and those things you've seen Him do on occasion will become the norm and the regular part of the routine of your daily life, just as He did in the life of Elizabeth, in the life of Mary, and many, many others. And He's saying to you today, look, It's never too late. It's never too late. And there shall be a performance. There shall be a performance. Philippians 1:6, Paul said, in my prayer I'm confident of one thing, that he that began the good work in you will perform it. Will perform it. Our performance skills, few, far between, meager at best, but he in you will perform through you whatever his will is for you. And just keep on keeping on. Keep on asking, seeking, knocking, and he will answer, and he will provide, and he will lead, and he will guide. It's never too late. So never give up. Never give up hope in the Lord. Give up on your own flesh efforts. For sure, you don't want fleshly efforts. So give up on that to be sure, because you don't want to be like Abraham and Sarah and go out and try to fix things and make it happen. Then you'll get an Ishmael, the work of the flesh. No, you want to give up hope in yourself, but give up hope unto the Lord and give up yourself to the Lord so that your hope now is in the Lord. And as the psalmist in 46:5 said, my soul, hope thou only in God. Now there's the source of our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's never too late. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there's many of us who have gone and gone and gone. We've prayed and prayed and prayed, and we have hoped and hoped and hoped, seemingly all to no avail. And may well be that we're like Elizabeth, and we're like Zacharias, that when you do show up and you do want to make yourself known to us, we've lost any sense of expectancy of you or any sense of awareness of you. We've lost sight of you, in fact, and we're shocked, surprised, and scared, and don't really know what to do with it. And all you're doing is trying to say, I'm here for you. I'm going to take care of you. And your prayers have been heard and answered. And in God's time and in God's way, he will do a work. The work he sees best. The work he knows is what we need. And Father God, I thank you that on this day, you're going to begin a fresh new work in us. And keep reminding us each day, O Lord, that it's never too late, that by the grace of God, we would never give up hope in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.